So, 1986
was apparently the last time we recorded this. Good Lord.
Yeah, we got a little bit behind.
Yeah.
On the thing.
It's like you came back from Podfest and then it just...
Well, I had my you know, I was, my head was all up in the air with the, like, the lofty ideals of podcasting and its fabulousness.
Oh.
And, you know.
So you got so up in your head that you forgot to actually do the thing that they were all doing.
And then you were gone in the corn.
Yeah, that was in the corn.
For a while.
You wished me to the corn, Dad. That's what happened.
I didn't wish you to the corn. I, in fact, said to you, weigh heavily your decision to go into the corn, my son, for thou shalt be most tired and sorely lacking in sleep. And yea, verily, it was so.
You wished me into the corn.
And thusly, you wished yourself into the corn.
I wished myself into the corn.
But that's a nice Twilight Zone reference. I like that. Very good. Very good.
Anyway.
So, in what, 1980-something or other, the movie Platoon came out.
Yeah.
And I went to go see it.
Yeah.
And in them thar days... there were not a lot of, movies about Vietnam that hadn't been either, you know,
masturbatory,
your Deer Hunter, sort of everything was, everybody came back and everybody's depressed and stuff, but it's not really about Vietnam so much.
It's,
or Green Berets type jingoistic, let's go over there and, you know, kill all the yellow men for the red, white, and blue. Or doing them a favor by making sure they're dead communists kind of movies.
So, like, the action movies and whatnot?
A lot, yeah.
Okay.
A lot. So, there were, of course, the First Blood movies where loners who were affected by the war in Vietnam wreaked havoc on small towns after being pushed too far by the local constabulary.
Huh.
But Platoon was supposed to be the first serious look at the war itself.
Uh-huh.
And I think was afforded a lot of leeway for how to put it. Pomposity.
Okay.
And overbearingness.
Okay, so I think we should probably watch this thing before you get too into this, because you sound like you got some stuff you want to say
here.
I'm
going to give the movie a fair chance.
Okay.
To be different than the one that I saw in 1986.
Okay.
And
different, like bringing up baby different.
Now, see, why do you got to go there already? That is just...
That movie pisses me off.
I know, it still does. Yeah. Weeks later, I'm sure months from now, you're still going to be talking about that film.
It's going to be a t-shirt. But I fucking hate bringing up baby.
Yeah. So, yes. Let us sit down and enjoy Charlie Sheen.
Oh, God.
Tom Berenger.
What?
Willem Dafoe.
Oh, no.
The Candyman, Little John from Requiem for a Dream, Kevin Dillon.
Private Owen.
That was Little John. Kevin Dillon from Entourage. Johnny Depp from...
everything.
He did a pirate thing a few years ago, and then there was like some candy movie. Candy, he made some kind of thing. I think he played a vampire just recently, and I think there was something he had, like a razor blade slasher type.
I think he also, at one point, he got glue on his hands, and then he kind of, like, stuck his hand in, like, a toolbox, and it
was
came
that,
out.
Exactly.
And
but
then
that,
he made, think, made sure everyone loved
I think
him
this
or something.
Might have been, I think, I don't know if this was after that or before that. There was that. Ghost Dog is also in this. So let's roll it.
Okay. What the fuck is Ghost Dog?
Forrest Whitaker.
Oh.
He has the he has has lazy eye, and he's the king of Scotland. The last king of Scotland, in fact.
The last one? The last king of Scotland is, in fact, black.
You have to see the movie to understand.
I guess so.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
So I guess we should probably start it now.
Let's watch Platoon.
Okay.
Oliver Stone, 1986, Oscar winner. Here we go.
For the love of God.
Start the show.
Jesus Christ, just start the movie! Okay.
Well, there you have it.
Okay.
Platoon.
That wasn't bad.
Yeah, sure, okay.
Oh no, you have things.
Grandma, when I first came here to Vietnam as a volunteer, I was just a young, naive guy. Now I've been here for almost a week, and I'm so tired, I can't even think. I feel that the next letter that I write is going to be about what a hardened Bush badass I am, and it will be somehow dated like 3 days from now. So, Grandma, when you get that letter, know that I'm probably dead, or that I will have murdered my top sergeant and seen the death of everyone, literally, in my platoon, because everyone died. We all died, all of us, even me, and I got out on a helicopter. So, in closing, Grandma, I'm also not going to write to you anymore.
Bye, Grandma.
The end.
Okay, all right, I guess that makes sense.
That's part of it.
That's part.
That's just the beginning.
Oh, God.
All right, so Charlie Sheen had done some work with Oliver Stone. Oh, wait, no, he did that one later. Never mind. So,
this was the first thing that he did.
This was one of the first. Okay, so Charlie Sheen, pre-crazy-ass whatever goofballness that he became later and all that stuff. Adequate in the role of the young, innocent avatar for Oliver Stone himself. Platoon is supposedly autobiographical. It's supposed to be about the real Vietnam. It's supposed to be about what really happened. Uh-huh. Over there in the firefights, in the jungles, in the things. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff in there that I could say, you know, that's based on experience. The ants, the different kinds of ants, the mosquitoes, the wet, the damp, the long nights, the bone-tired, burning shit.
Base camp.
With diesel fumes, or with diesel fuel in 55-gallon drums when you pull them out of the outhouse, digging holes, sleeping as close to the ground as you can, getting up, walking the next day for 10 hours and digging another hole to sleep in. All of that. Absolutely 100%, you know, real stories. You know, the drug use, sure.
Yeah.
But holy shit, really? Am I to believe that Oliver Stone wants me to believe that not only did he survive this... I mean, and, you know, people survive all kinds of weird things. But then he shot the guy. He shot the guy that he was mad at. Really?
Okay,
that's what...
All right.
That's what we're supposed to know about the real Vietnam.
Well, okay, so I think there might be some justification for this. That you have to remember that, as you said before, that all of the other... Well, I'm going to summarize and say that all of the films before this about Vietnam were all a bunch of... either coming back and being, you know, depressed and shit, or basically self-masturbatory bullshit films.
not all of them. There are some good... Hey, you know what? Full Metal Jacket came out before this one.
Really? Okay.
In fact, they were worried about them being released close enough together that people were, you know...
They were...
Stanley Kubrick...
a little similar.
Okay, so here's the thing. Now... I am an unabashed Stanley Kubrick fan. All right?
All right.
I make no bones about it. I think Stanley Kubrick was at once a great director and a real weirdo. Okay? its faults, Full Metal Jacket is, I think, the better film of these two about Vietnam.
You believe
it doesn't tell necessarily a better story. It doesn't necessarily, you know, it doesn't tell a better war story. There's a lot of kind of it's a basic training movie. It's a brief war movie, you know. But the film itself is full of imagery, full of symbolism. There it is intentional.
Yeah.
It is well thought out. It is well executed.
This is Full Metal Jacket.
That's Full Metal Jacket.
Okay.
Platoon seems to accidentally make symbolic or allegorical statements and then claim them as, oh yeah, that's what I meant to do.
Yeah.
That's what I meant to do. You know? And what happened when Willem Dafoe, who plays Sergeant Elias, who's the kind of... He's the easygoing guy. He's the man with morals. He's tough.
He's the tough guy.
But he's fair.
He's the tough guy with morals.
He's got the
creepiest fucking smile in all of the movies.
That's just Willem Dafoe in every movie.
No kidding.
So he plays this sergeant who takes our young hero under his wing and then is killed later by the other sergeant, by the tough, just gritty
fucking, giant I got scar a, across
I got
his
more
face.
Scars than face. Tom Berenger, who you know, the years have not been kind to the performance that he gave. I'm sorry, but what may have passed for you know,
dark brooding badass,
I'm gritty, I'm tough, I've been in the shit for so long, I don't even know. I've been wounded 7 times. He just comes off as sort of a pompous douche.
Yeah.
And...
Was that intentional, like, or...?
I don't think so. I don't think... And in fact, you know, at the time, people lauded the performances and everything, and it just, it's like... I get it's a war movie. I get they're supposed to be this sort of... I don't know. It just falls so... just flat on so many levels. It didn't you know, I didn't get the sense that I was there, man.
I was in the shit.
I could smell the shit in the shit that I was in, with my boots falling off my feet and the bugs biting me and stuff.
There were a couple of parts that it felt, you know, there were a couple of authentic points, but again, you're right, you didn't feel... I felt that there were some parts in the movie that kind of just took me out of it, but you have to admit, of everything, and I still believe that it was a good movie.
Uh-huh.
I still believe that there are probably some places that they could probably worked on. I mean, some of it feels like that the producers came in with their big old red pen, and they're like, change this and this and this.
You think?
I don't know.
I don't feel that the movie... I mean, I could be wrong. The movie may have been noted to death. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't get the sense that Platoon came out the way it did because the producers of the film said, you know, hey, Ollie, look...
We know
what you wanted to say. We do. But really, unless Charlie Sheen's hair gets taller and taller and taller during this film, because hey, fucko, it's 1986, and goddamn it, if he's not wearing a red bandana, smoking a butt, with really tall hair, we're not going to believe that it's 1968 and he's in the middle of
Vietnam.
The shit. All right? So All right. You get back out there. And you make that happen. His hair, tall and biggin' his hair.
We'll fix it in post. Oh, wait, we don't have post yet.
Yeah. I imagine that if they could have CG'd his hair even larger, it'd be a friggin' cockatoo. I mean, what was that? That'd
be peacock
shaped. Okay, so there's that.
Okay, all right. So I...
You know, and I'm not saying that he had to necessarily have a crew cut or a buzz cut or whatever, you know, but hey, he's a young kid just out of boot.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's that.
But his his shaven head is going to be a little grown out at best.
A small, and you know, it's days and days and days, but you know, that was kind of one of the things that was a little different about Vietnam. You could actually get back to places and get your hair cut or get, you know, whatever. And that's kind of really beside the point. That's kind of nitpicky.
Yeah.
And it's sort of a fashion statement that he had.
Yeah.
The
bandana thing.
The red bandana and the giant hair shooting out of the top of it.
Did he wear a helmet at any point past...
A couple times.
He wore a helmet a lot.
He wore a steel pot during the climactic firefight.
Did he?
Yes.
Okay.
Where the command post was blown up by
with Oliver Stone in it, with
a satchel bomb.
Must be where the movie fell apart, because he was killed by a suicide bomber in the command post.
Command post during the filming of the film.
Yep.
Now, okay, so they blew that up.
Mm-hmm.
There were guys blown all over the place by grenades and bombs and strange bottle rockets.
Yeah, bottle rockets. Shooting. Not RPGs, bottle rockets.
That was supposed to be tracer rounds, and you know, that's fine.
Okay.
They do weird things.
Tracers do weird things.
Just, I don't know. It just, I mean, holy shit. Now, I remember when I saw the movie in 1986, I was sitting there and I was watching, and the scene where they went into the village after the guy had been blown up in the NVA,
yeah,
command post, and he checked the box of maps for traps, and then he picked up the box and
what?
Blew his arms off.
That's
all right. So he died, and then they found the other guy who'd been I guess captured and then strung to a tree with wire, and he was killed. So they went into a village to exact revenge, and I remember feeling, you know, this is like the My Lai Massacre, kind of, you know, with Lieutenant Calley, who went in and shot a whole bunch of civilians, and he was tried for it.
Yeah.
During the war. I don't recall that Oliver Stone was part of that unit. I could be wrong. I haven't done a lot of research about it. He could have been.
That would actually have been telling a story.
He could have also been extrapolating that, you know, it is a fiction, but this possibly happened more than the once. It probably did. They burned the women. They burned the villages and all this stuff. But they go in and they're rousting the villagers, and the guy who's supposed to be the most senior sergeant in the unit, the guy who's been in the shit,
mm-hmm.
who understands what it is to be fighting
Scarface, yeah,
shoots a villager.
Shoots a woman in the head.
Shoots her in the head. And then threatens to kill a little girl. And I remember in 1986, I saw that and I was like, oh, no, that's terrible. Oh, what stress they must be under. And this time it just came off as like, oh, that's right. Vietnam War is where we killed women, burnt children's babies' houses, and, ate dead burnt bodies, like Arlo Guthrie said in Alice's Restaurant. And it's like, oh, that's right. In 1986... We were coming out of this sort of national like thing. Okay, so here's the thing. I grew up in a military family,
mm-hmm.
in the 70s, surrounded by people who, for the most part, all the parents had
fought in Vietnam.
You know, mostly the men, but everybody that I knew, pretty much, their parents had fought in Vietnam.
Wow.
Okay? Their dads or you know, some of their moms. Okay? Because I lived in a military community.
Yeah.
There were lots and lots of people. So, for a long time, I was not even aware of the idea that people were, you know, anti-troops or spit, you know, it didn't register where I was, because I was in the midst of this community of people who had been there.
Yeah.
You know, I would go to the Saturday afternoon barbecues in our neighborhood, and there was a guy who lived four houses down from me who had a bullet hole in his back. it wasn't like a scar. It was like when
a literal hole.
When they had pulled the bullet out, the tissue that had been over it was pushed in. So he had like it looked like a belly button on his back.
Ah.
Yeah. There were guys that had scars and cuts and, you know, thing. You know, it was like, oh, okay, so that's just, they were there, they did that, that happened. You know, but that was like, that's like if you grew up in a regular neighborhood and, you know, the insurance salesman, you know, came home and got drunk. Oh, that's just what happens in our neighborhood. These guys went to war, came back, did these things, and this was, and that's not to say that they weren't affected, they weren't, you know, because... everybody is all the time.
Yeah.
But the national attitude outside of that bubble was such that such terrible things had happened that when we portrayed them in a film, we took them as it happened to everybody.
Yeah.
So Oliver Stone was able to tell this sort of accidental morality play about a kid who loses his innocence in Vietnam and ends up killing one of his senior sergeants because of alleged transgressions.
He knew he did,
and we saw him, and you know, so we can feel sympathy for him because he knows.
Yeah.
But that's like, okay, so basically then it's just a vigilante cop story.
Yeah.
Or a Western.
Yeah.
He's killed the black hat. He's killed the bad guy.
Yeah.
With the black hat.
Okay, he's even a black hat up to the seriously drinking Jack Daniels straight from the bottle. This is totally, you're right, this is totally the black hat trope.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, but it had a big budget.
Yeah.
It had a... It had a director attached to it.
An Academy Award-winning director.
Up and coming.
Yeah.
It won Best Picture.
And really?
It has been ensconced, enshrined, you know, in this sort of otherworldly, like, oh, it's a holiest of holies. It cannot be. It cannot be besmirched, but I besmirch it.
But here's, okay,
I say it is not as good as people think.
And I came into this movie having zero expectation. I mean, the only thing that I knew about the Vietnam War was based on what I had learned in history class in U.S. history 2 years ago. Because, you know, I knew about the soldier resentment and all that other stuff, and I feel that this film, in a way, kind of perpetuates that anger towards soldiers because they are doing things that, you know,
but
makes them seem like the bad guys. Because I mean, when they went to that village, even the guy who is supposed to be the avatar, the put your face on this guy and you are now him,
mm-hmm.
Charlie Sheen.
Yeah,
you're supposed to be that guy. He went in and he murdered someone. No,
he didn't.
He almost he beat the hell out of somebody, and then the other guy came in and kicked his skull in.
Right.
So it was one of those things where it's like, oh, all off camera, by the way.
He was shooting at the guy's foot.
Yeah, shooting at the guy's foot, and then the other guy came in and stomped his skull in. He's like, I've never seen so much brains. Right. All off camera. Right. But it's one of those things where it's just, it felt like they were trying to make the soldiers seem like bad guys, because at that point I was just like, I'm done. I don't like any of these people anymore. It's like, I don't like you.
I think the point that he was trying to make was that, you know, war makes you do strange, do things that you wouldn't think you would do.
Right.
And you get frustrated and you get angry and you're looking for payback. And I get that. And I understand what he was trying to say.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think he unintentionally said, every single person who went to Vietnam did something like this.
Yeah.
Feel bad for us. Instead of saying, some people went, some things happened, some people went, things didn't happen. It was terrible all across the board. War is hell. It is shit. I can't stress that enough, that I understand that it is a terrible, terrible thing.
Yeah.
But I don't think that the story needed to go in those places to suggest how awful it was for everyone to be there, that they also had to be criminals. That they also had to be, you know, the savage white man in the land of the natives.
Yeah.
And, you know, but we can justify what we're doing because, well, after all, we're who the movie's about. So in the end,
we're still the good guys.
We still get to be the good guys, even though we've gone to this sort of pit of hell.
Yeah. Oh, and the other thing is that they justified the killing in the movie because they found guns and they found, you know, all this other stuff.
Which, yes.
Yeah, well, that's how they justified it in the movie, is like, it's okay because we still found contraband.
Right.
It's like, no.
But
that doesn't make it okay.
And they're and the lieutenant was right there, nothing, and he, you know, was saying nothing happened, nobody saw anything.
Yeah.
And so basically it became, Barringer kills Elias later to cover up for what he knows that it was a crime.
Yeah.
So he knew better, did it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And I just, it it's almost as if he was trying to say that although the soldiers who came back didn't deserve to be treated the way they were, they still deserve to be treated the way they were
because
they were bad people, obviously, because here's a story that's supposed to be about me.
I did bad things.
It's supposed to be autobiographical, you know, and here we are telling this story about guys who are beating the brains out of villagers and shooting them in the head and burning and by association we're all criminals in some way, and it just doesn't work for me. Now, that said, now that I've rambled on about that for as long as I have, I do have to say that one of the things that Platoon was able to do was to open up the sort of national dialogue about how shitty we as a nation were to the vets who returned from Vietnam.
Yes.
And that is a good thing that came out of this.
That things...
There had been other films that, you know, came out. There was a TV movie a few years before called The Boys in Company C. There was Full Metal Jacket, which, you know, there, and Green Berets had happened in 1967 or 66 when it was still kind of the, you know, John Wayne was making a movie about, you know, rah-rah, let's get over there and, you know, kick some ass and, you know, let's make it like World War II, which we've been making World War II movies now for 25 years. So
still making them.
You know, let's do these things, and, you know, let's... Basically, Green Berets was like the Von Ryan's Express of...
So basically they were trying to do an American war... American wartime victory lap
He was trying to do Sands of Iwo Jima.
Oh, God.
For the Vietnam War, and it didn't work.
No.
And then Platoon was sort of the anti-Sands of Iwo Jima, but still kind of Sands of Iwo Jima, but...
No,
in wrapped up in a pile of, you know, no, it's not really like that. You know, that's not what we're not trying to be rah-rah, let's go over there, but we kind of are, so, you know. It's got this confused, muddled thing.
Yeah, that's
And then in the middle of the goddamn film, he shoots Elias, and Willem Dafoe knows he's going to die all of a sudden. He gets shot, and as they're pulling out in the choppers, there's the iconic scene where... half of the goddamn North Vietnamese army is chasing Willem Dafoe through a fucking rice paddy.
That is how difficult it is to catch Willem Dafoe.
Willem.
I said Willem Dafoe.
Okay. And he's running through the field, and they're shooting him, and I'm in slow motion.
Will I Am takes so many bullets.
And he gets shot again. He goes down on his knees, and now he's crawling, and Charlie Sheen is in the helicopter yelling, "We gotta go back, because he's still alive!" And the other sergeant who just shot him, he's like, oh no, my jig is up.
Yeah.
And they go back and they're trying to get the helicopter to turn around. And they won't turn around and oh no. And then finally they shoot the M60s down onto the NVA and the Viet Cong that are chasing him, and they kill so many of them. There's hundreds of guys, literally hundreds of guys chasing Willem Dafoe, and he's crawling, and he gets up onto his knees, and he takes a shot in the gut, and he arches his back straight up, and his arms go straight up into the air, and Jesus Christ, pose, and dead. Why? What? Why was that it? Why was that in the movie? Why?
I don't know.
It's the death of Charlie Sheen's innocence.
Is that what it is?
It's when he knows. It's when he knows that he is lost.
What?
And there has to be a symbol for it. There has to be. And it was on the poster.
Oh, is that what the fuck?
Willem Dafoe, arms in the air.
So
head back, like he's greeting the rain at Woodstock. But no, he's being riddled with bullets and dying in a field.
Oh.
And it makes me just sad.
Yeah.
That for some, there's so many people who will listen to my description of that and go, yeah, that was, wait, he doesn't like that.
Wait, what?
And that will be okay with me, because
I didn't.
It's like, really? We're just gonna turn that up. We're gonna turn up the symbolism. Just stuff that symbolism in there. Just bam.
I'm gonna turn it up to red 10.
To red 10, exactly. And we'll be able to hear the ghosts of Willem Dafoe screaming to get out.
Give me back my career.
Oh, he had a good career.
Oh, okay.
He's fine.
Okay.
None of the people in this film, you know, suffered for their part in it, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. And you know. That's great. There have been other Oliver Stone movies that I actually did enjoy.
Yeah.
This really wasn't one of them.
Oh, that's.
I will say this, too.
What?
Oliver Stone made the only film I've ever actually walked out on.
Really?
Yep.
Wasn't Platoon, though.
It wasn't Platoon. No, I sat through Platoon.
What was that movie?
Born on the 4th of July. Another Vietnam War movie.
Oh.
Which just kept telling the same story over and over again. There's like three arcs in that film that it tells a story and ends, then starts another story slightly before the end of the first, and then that arc goes, and then there's a third, and it's like, oh God, I can't go through this again. I just cannot.
No, I can't.
So, you know, right. Just, yeah. So, we're sitting there, we're watching the movie, and then Willem Dafoe gets croaked.
Oh, why is everybody so sad? Is it because Creepy Smiley Man got turned into Swiss cheese?
It kind of is, and it just doesn't work. It doesn't work.
I think the movie kind of went
and then to have the fight scene between Tom Berenger and.
Like six dudes.
And well, no, because he was trying to make a point that they were all just, you know, blowhards, really. That they weren't man enough to take him on. And right there in their bunker. I mean,
because
he was a man. He went out in the jungle and killed a guy where he thought he wasn't going to get caught.
Yeah.
But he's calling them out because they won't beat him up in the
Yes, because in a camp. Bunker, if you beat up a staff sergeant, then, you know, that gets you court-martialed. But if you kill someone in the jungle, then you're a fucking man.
You are, because you know, it's the law of the West or whatever.
No, it's the law.
So basically,
it's the law of the trees.
They can't go back to the Bonanza. They can't go back to the Ponderosa Ranch and kill him in the bunkhouse.
Well, what the
fuck? But if he was out on the Cayuse, they could.
Dude, the only thing I know about that goddamn show is that they have an amusement park on the set now.
Not anymore.
No. Oh.
No, it's gone.
Oh, no.
Sad day. Sad.
Oh,
sad
day. Did even but some the people amusement out, some park people got canceled? Out there
will understand. We'll understand what the Ponderosa is and the bunkhouse.
Cool.
And all that stuff. Which is nice.
Hmm. It was pretty cool. Anyway.
Refreshing beverage. So back to, you know, some good did come out of this movie. There were lots and lots of documentaries about the war made, and lots of film. There was actually a very good film that came out, I think, right after this, called Letters Home from Vietnam.
Is it like Letters of Iwo Jima, but...
No, it's actually what it is it's photographs and letters from soldiers in Vietnam and their families at home sent back and forth to each other during the war, and it's read, and it's they you know, got the photographs of the people who wrote the letters, and they cut it all together, and had actors read it, and it was very affecting. And you didn't hear a lot of, "Hey, Grandma, they got us humping rucks all day, and, you know, putting fires on poop piles and stuff." That, all the things that he was complaining about in the two or three letters.
Why would he tell that about his grandma? Tell that to his grandma.
I think he was trying to tell her that he was going to be okay, so she could pass the information along to his parents, who did not agree with his choice.
Yeah, did they disown him? What happened?
I don't think it was a disown. I think he quit college and volunteered to go into the military and go to Vietnam, volunteer for.
Well, I wasn't learning anything.
Well, right, because, you know.
You never learn anything in college or anything.
Of course not. Nobody ever does. Just keep that in mind, son. Right, exactly. So, no, but the suggestion was that his parents had, essentially disowned him and didn't want to talk to him and all that. So, you know, okay.
Blah, blah.
But here we are watching this film that is... number 86, 80-something on the list?
As I recall.
I usually have this stuff written down, but my notes are so scattered that I can't even...
Just a lot of anger in your notes this time.
It just makes me mad.
Really?
It does. It's number 86.
Uh-huh.
And... I don't even know why. I don't even really know why I actually give a shit. Maybe it's because so much praise was heaped on this film as, you know, a groundbreaking storytelling of something. We've never seen anything like this before.
Heaps of praise was put on Avatar, but it was still a stinky piece of shit.
True. True. So maybe in the moment you can't. It's hard to step back and see.
Yeah.
But I was one of a very small minority of people who didn't like this film.
And really.
It was not a very popular position. And I don't know why. It just didn't work for me.
Huh. All right. Well, it's one of those things where it's like, it's on the list. A lot of people seem to think that it's a good movie, and it may also be on the list.
Might suffer from people haven't watched it recently.
This might also be because it had such a massive influence on the culture.
Possibly.
Because, I mean, you have to remember, there are certain things on here that... Okay, so Toy Story is on the list, probably because it was a really good movie. And two, probably because it opened up this new area of animation that never really was explored before.
Uh-huh. I still think it's better than a lot of the movies that came after. Maybe not technically, but a better Toy Story film.
Well, it's the Snow White of the...
Well, we'll get to that one, too.
Oh, shit, that's right. Snow White's on here.
Yeah, so, you know, there you go. And then you can see...
Yeah.
So, okay, so let's...
Anyway, we
don't want to get too far afield on the... on Platoon.
No, but my point is that I think that it, like some other films on this list, it just basically, it had such an influence on the way that people saw certain things in the world. I mean, the idea of being, you know, well, I mean, like I keep saying, it's, you know, everything up until now was, you know, self-righteous or, you know, self-masturbatory films about Vietnam. So it was all just, up until then, it was kind of just bullshit. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's just, maybe it's on there because not only was it by a lot of people praised as a good movie and it won Best Picture and all that shit, but like you said, it opened up the kind of communication for just kind of how shitty people were to Vietnam vets.
Mm.
Because you said so yourself that, you know, it altered, because I don't know, I wasn't alive in 1986.
I had some idea, but, you know, growing up, though, that was the point. Growing up, I didn't have any idea.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, went to Germany, lived around soldiers.
I know.
So, it's like, you know, how's that going to be? I think either that or my parents were just really good at insulating us from that kind of stuff.
Well, it's probably
part of it as well.
Well, I mean, wouldn't you keep your kids away from basically people that hate your parents for their career choice? And for no other reason but because of their career choice?
Maybe. Probably. I didn't have that opportunity. I didn't choose a career that people apparently dislike.
Well, okay. Everybody wants you to fix their goddamn computers, so, you know.
Well,
so what's not to like about you?
That's different. Yeah. That's a different thing. But
I know. It's.
Oh, here we go. So this is from a user review, from May 8th, 2004. This is on IMDb, so I'm just gonna, and it's by Red Core from Silicon Valley. Platoon is generally regarded as one of the strongest anti-war films of all time. While this is certainly true, what's often overlooked, at least after only one run through the film, is that it's chiefly a tale of God versus Satan, and the war is there to set a perilous backdrop. No doubt, Platoon shows the Vietnam War was a big mistake, but being a fictional documentary on Vietnam is far from its purpose.
God versus Satan?
I can see that. I can even see with the devil eyes when the napalm's going off, and you know when the sergeant is rearing up with the entrenching tool, and he's going to kill Chris.
Yeah, but
you know, but yeah, anti-war. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. After all, the first casualty of war is innocence, so it's definitely not a movie that's saying go and do these things. But I think the suggestion that's made in the film is strong enough. I think I'm right about this, that there's a suggestion that's being made in the film that every person involved in it is a criminal of some kind, and that if you went there, you were a criminal. If you did any, you know, if you were there, then you were sort of guilty by association, and it just doesn't work for me.
Huh.
At all, and that just, you know, that it just doesn't work for me.
Okay. So I guess this movie, would you recommend people see it?
Sure. You know, put it under your belt.
Yeah.
See if I'm wrong. You know, watch it. Just, you know.
Hey. Okay.
I'm just so kind of overwrought about this. I guess this is my bringing up baby.
Oh,
this is the one I'm going to be talking about in a month.
All right, cool. All right, mine was legitimately shitty. People might contest you for this one.
They might, and that's fine. They're entitled to their opinion.
Yeah,
they can be wrong. I can be wrong. Whatever, that's fine. That's what this is all about. I encourage dialogue, and I would like to have people, you know, email us and tell me I'm wrong. I'll read your email on the air, and then you know,
we'll tell you how.
And then yell at you for it, or whatever, or say, you know what, I didn't see that point of view before, and I'm really sorry that I failed to see that this was really a story about the candy industry and I don't know.
Well, Candyman. Well,
he had a head full of bees.
Oh my god.
Yes.
All right. Well, so this was a film. It had actors in it.
There were moments in this film that felt very real. There were moments in this film that felt like they were plucked from the diary of a guy who actually was there. And I know that Oliver Stone went to Vietnam, and I know that he served, and I get that. He was in the infantry. He was right down there in the mud and the blood and the, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I get that. There are moments in this film when it becomes so overwrought, was just trying so hard to be symbolic, and it just, it's like it's tripping over itself, and then we're going, oh, no, that's what I wanted. That's what, no, seriously, that's, no,
it's
guys.
Like, it's like a...
Guys,
like
no,
a,
seriously, that's what I was looking for real all along. Yeah. Okay, all right.
Whatever you say, man.
Okay, I guess that's a wrap then. Or whatever.
It's kind of like the bad painter who suddenly everybody loves his paintings. It's like, oh, I totally meant to do that.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Hey, you know what? In 50 years, people are going to be looking at your stuff and going, look at that thing that he made there. That's awesome. Look at that stuff.
Let's write a 10-page paper as to why he did that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, because I thought it would look cool.
I put a varnish on it. It was awesome. Sweet. Actually, I was painting, and it was really cool because I was like, so high.
I was so fucked up on LSD.
Oh, no. Huh. No, just the fumes from the paint, you know. Anyway. So, yeah.
So Oliver Stone was fucked up on the fumes of the...
Of his paint.
Of his camera.
He had his feet
directly hooked up to the exhaust port.
I just don't think it works as well as people have been giving it credit for all these years.
Okay.
And there you have it.
All right.
So, if you disagree, you know... Write us an email, 100ofsomething@gmail.com, and hit us up on Twitter. I'm at Mr. Bowen.
I'm at @thefro, _fro.
Exactly. And you can also hit us up at 100ofsomething. Follow us. We'll try to follow back because, you know, that's how you build community on the internets.
Is that what they told you at your Podfest?
No, I knew that already.
Oh,
yeah, they tried to teach me, but you know.
But you was all like, "No, I don't want to learn. I don't want to learn about things I already know. I'm gonna go join the army."
Mostly, I just laughed when I was at LA Podfest.
Oh, good.
Which was pretty cool.
I'm glad.
It was nice.
All right.
Yeah. Maybe you can go next year.
I'll be in LA next year, Dad.
Well, maybe you can join us then.
I'll see what I can do.
Okay.
All right.
Are we done now?
I think we're done now.
Okay.
Bye.